get some coffee. I ran out of steam.
You don't want to go over the music for the first, so y'all. Okay. It missed a couple times on the even the last time. Okie dokie. I'm not though. Listen to my voice. It's cracking.
Thank you.
Stop. Joy instead of Without you. happy 2022. Happy New Year. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here on the first Sunday of the year. We were here last Sunday to give God thanks and praise for last year, 2021. This year, we're starting off with shouts of victory and praise and worship to the God who is worthy. Somebody get excited in this place. Hey!
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its dealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Come on, here we go.
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years? Tell the past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who could work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love strong and his grace is up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can say. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you for an encounter this morning, God. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Glorify you, God. You are worthy. You are worthy. Come on, church. Lift up your praise. Lift up your worship for the King of Kings. God, we worship you. We worship you, Father. You are so worthy, God. We thank you, Lord, that as we worship and as we praise, God, we know we will see victory in this year. Hallelujah. We just thank you, God. We thank you in advance.
False, it won't breathe them. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. And my God will never fail.
Sing it one more time like you mean it.
My God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. And every war he wages, he will win. Whoa, I'm not backing down from any giant.
Hey.
Cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know. Yes, I know how this story ends. A victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
I'm gonna see
a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Oh, this I can be sure. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land. I will see victory in Jesus' name. I know, I know, I know. Come on, let's declare.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
How many can testify? Come on.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good.
You turn
it for good.
Yeah. You take
what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Oh.
You take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. take what the enemy meant for evil
and he turned it for good.
That's the God we serve.
He turned it for good.
One more time, declare. You take what the enemy meant for evil
and you turn it for good.
Over your life, over your family. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory.
For the battle belongs
finances
to you,
and
Lord.
Health. You speak. I'm gonna see your
victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Come on and seal it with your face, with your praise, and your worship. Come on.
Hallelujah. She's singing about the God that I serve. How about you? I've seen some victories. You know, I love the fact that that song acknowledges that it doesn't, just because we serve in the Lord, it doesn't mean that battles don't form against us. But the outcome, that's the difference. It's the outcome. Carol, you don't mind me using your testimony. You know, Carol Buddorf, she had a report from the doctor. She had a cancerous growth. And she said, this is going to turn out for good. I believe God. I trust God. I heard nothing but faith come out of her mouth. And you know, sometimes we've seen it. I've seen Angela Penn in our church. She had a huge growth in her stomach. She came forward for prayer. Someone prayed for her and the growth completely disappeared without any doctor's help. But then we've had other people. I could just name different people that have had things come against them and they've had prayer and they've had the doctor's help and they've seen an outcome that is favorable to them. A victory in their lives. And so Carol just sent us a report saying that the doctor said it's the most. She had surgery that when I asked her how she was feeling, she's like, I don't feel like I had surgery. I feel like I'm just a little sleepy. And then she said the doctor contacted her and said after the pathology reports that it was the best possible outcome and it won't affect her quality of life. I mean, is that God or what? So what I'm saying is, let's believe God. No matter what comes against us, we're believing for victory this year. Amen. Praise God. Turn and greet someone. No, she doesn't like me to say it. You may be seated. Wonderful to see you all this morning. Happy New Year. It's going to be a good one. Amen. Let me ask you, as we get ready, we're going to partake of communion together. Does everybody have communion emblems? If you don't have them, just wave your hand and usher will get them to you. Everybody have communion? Let me just explain to you, because I had to remind myself. The wafer is on the bottom of the cup, so you peel the bottom, the wafer's there. You peel the top, and the grape juice is there. And we thought it would be fitting today, as we begin this new year, that we just acknowledge the Lord. We just acknowledge the Lord at the beginning of it all, right? Just as we're going to do throughout this year. But I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 11. It says, I have handed down to you what came to me by direct revelation from the Lord himself. The same night in which he was handed over, he took bread and he gave thanks, and then he distributed it to his disciples, and he said, take it and eat your fill. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. He did the same with a cup of wine after supper, and he said, this cup seals the new covenant with my blood. Drink it, and whenever you drink it, do this to remember me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story. You are proclaiming our Lord's death until he comes. So family, we know as believers, we know what Jesus, the sacrifice he made. We are remembering in communion, we're remembering his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. But not only that, we are remembering that we are part of a family of God. We are part of the family of God. And this is the blood of the new covenant. Everything that covenant holds belongs to us. Amen. And so I want you to partake with me. If you'll take that bread, that wafer, and hold it in your hand. And say this with me. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your body shed, your body broken for me. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for dying on the cross, for taking my sin, for giving me new life. I remember you today. Let's eat that. Thank you. Take the juice and say this. Say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood spilled on my behalf. Thank you, Lord, that you ratified a new covenant between God and man. Thank you that I am part of that covenant. Thank you that everything you promised belongs to me. Father, I go into this new year putting you first above everything else. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in my life, in my family, in my children, in my church, in Jesus' name. Let's drink that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That was a little sour and a little stale. But it wasn't for a meal, right? Praise God. Well, good to see you. As I said, Happy New Year. I hope you all had a good Christmas. And we're so glad you're in church this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online, to our Send Church family. If you're not in church today, we miss you. We love you. Hope to see you again soon. And I'm excited. Last week, Pastor Steve preached a phenomenal message on not looking back. And I'm looking forward to this. Today, I'm getting inspired for the year to come. How about you? I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you're a visitor in our church today, we just want to honor you. Don't want to embarrass you in any way. Our ushers would just like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. And I can watch our ushers busy with everything else. But if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? God bless you. Come on, family. God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. So glad you're here today. And just wave your hand again so the ushers can see where you are. Thank you, Demony. Right here. Thank you. Praise God. Well, there's various ways, those that are watching, there's various ways you can watch the service. You can watch on Facebook Live, which is, I love the fact that it's shareable. I've got family members and friends all over the world that when I share the live stream, that people watch who would not be in church today. So that's a good way to share the gospel, a modern way to share the gospel. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch on our Ascend Church app. And it's all available after the fact as well. So that's a real blessing. On our app, we have more than 100 teachings that you can go and just be inspired and study the Word of God for yourself. So glad that you are joining us on one of those mediums today or in church itself. I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church.
The first one is that we want you to know God. We want you to discover your purpose. We want you to find freedom in every area of your life, and we want you to make a difference with your life. Amen? And we're ready for the message this morning. Thank you, Pastor Steve. Let me just say to the visitors, if you wouldn't mind, just when the offering bucket is passed by at the end of the service, just drop that guest card in. It's a way for us to just keep in touch. So thank you for doing that.
Thanks, Jill. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. What a great way to start the year in God's house, putting Him first. How many do you have an expectancy for 2022? How many of you are expecting this year to see good things happen, right? I love the song that we sang today. I'm going to see a victory. I'm expecting victory this year. Say that. Say, I'm expecting victory this year. You know why I'm expecting that? Because the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. He always leads us into victory. Amen? But you got to follow His leading. You got to follow where God is leading. His path leads victory, green pastures, still waters. Amen. Dolores, did you bring your phone today? Could you take some pictures using your phone today? Not a lot, just a few in our New Year's service. I love that song we sang, I'm going to see a victory. Amen. The band did a great job today. Won't you give them a big round of applause? Did a great job today. Father, we thank you. This first Sunday of 2022, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us in 2021. We thank you, Lord, we are expecting victory and good things in 2022. We worship you, we honor you, we magnify you, Lord. We give you all praise for everything that shall take place this year, Lord. Lord, as I speak your word today, I thank you that you speak to every heart. I thank you that you cause our faith to grow and to rise up big. Thank you, Lord, that we overflow with hope and expectation. Thank you for giving us vision today, Lord, to see what you want to do in our life this year ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to speak about, you know, last Sunday of 2021, I spoke about don't look back. The Apostle Paul said, one thing I focus on, I forget the past, I press forward to that which lies ahead. And on the first Sunday of 2022, I want to speak about look forward. I'm talking about looking beyond where you are. I'm talking about your vision for 2022. You know, so many people today are discouraged and depressed because they focus on their present circumstances. They constantly are dwelling on their problems and what they don't have and what's wrong with them. And without realizing it, they are allowing the enemy to steal their hope. And this negative frame of mind keeps them from moving forward in their life. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision. It doesn't say where there's no money, the people perish. It doesn't say where there's no opportunity, the people perish. It doesn't say where there's no talent, the people perish. What limits us is a lack of vision. Too many people today are stuck in a rut. It's not because they're not talented. And it's not because they don't have God's favor. It's because their vision is limited. They don't see themselves being promoted. They don't see themselves accomplishing dreams. They don't see themselves living a healthier, more blessed life. See, what you see is what you're going to move towards. We all have vision. Every one of us has a picture in our mind of ourselves, of our family, of our future. But the question is, what does your picture look like? What does your vision look like? Do you see yourself rising higher? Do you see yourself overcoming that obstacle? Do you see yourself living an abundant life? Or is the picture that you have of yourself one of struggle, defeated, addicted, overweight, never getting any good breaks? You see, your vision determines what kind of life you're going to live. Say, my vision determines my life. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. That means the way you see yourself, the way you see your future, determines what you become. Your vision is your future. That's why we have to protect our vision. Because if your vision is limited, your life will be limited. Amen? Seven times in the scriptures, God asked people, what do you see? God is interested in our vision. See, before your dream can come to pass, you have to see yourself accomplishing that dream. You've got to get a picture of it. Before you lose the weight, before you break the addiction, you've got to see it happening in your imagination. The pictures that you keep in front of you, your vision, not only does it drop down in your spirit, it gets into your subconscious mind. And once something's in your subconscious mind, without even thinking about it, it's like gravity. It'll pull you towards it. Many people have negative images in their subconscious mind. They see themselves as weak or inferior or defeated. They wonder why it feels like there's something always pulling against them. It's because they have the wrong images. If you will change those pictures and start seeing yourself the way God sees you, see yourself blessed, see yourself favored, see yourself healthy, prosperous, successful, instead of having something pulling against you, you'll have something that will be pulling for you, and you'll be moving toward blessing and favor and increase. That's what happened to Abraham. When God told Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations, that he was going to have children, Abraham knew in the natural it was hopeless because he was way too old. His wife was unable to have any children. But what's interesting is God didn't just give Abraham a promise. God gave him a vision. He gave him a picture to look at. In Genesis chapter 13, in verse 14, it says, the Lord said to Abram, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. God says, don't look where you are. Look from it. Lift up your eyes and look forward. Look to the north, the south, the east, the west, for all the land which you see, I will give you, and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Now, God said, lift up your eyes, Abram, because what you see, that's what I'm going to give you. God gave him a vision. God gave him a picture. God told him to look at the sand in the desert because that's how many descendants you're going to have. Every time Abraham looked at the sand of the desert, he was reminded of God's promise to him. See, that's what you have to do. You have to lift up your eyes from where you are right now. And you have to look at the vision, the picture of where you want to be. And God didn't leave it there. In Genesis 15, verse 5, then God brought Abram outside and he said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. God gave him a picture of the stars. Every time that Abraham looked at the stars in the sky, he was reminded of God's promise. He saw children night and day. During the day, he's looking at the desert sand. During the night, he's looking at the stars in the heavens. And he's reminded of God's promise. He had the vision before him, night and day. Why did God give him a picture? Because it helped Abraham to believe. See, a vision helps you to believe. A vision inspires your faith. It says in verse 6, and Abram believed in the Lord. See, God knew there were going to be times when it seemed like that promise wasn't going to come to pass. So when Abram was tempted to get discouraged, he would go outside and he would look at the sky. And when he saw the stars, faith would rise up in his heart and it would help him to keep on believing. In the morning when those thoughts came to him, Abram, you're too old, it's too late, you didn't hear God right, this is impossible. Abram would look at the grains of the sand and something would come alive inside of him and his faith would be inspired. You see, your vision keeps you encouraged. God is saying to you what he said to Abraham, if you can see it, I will do it. If you'll get a vision for it, then I will bring it to pass in your life. If you can see the invisible, God can do the impossible. Abram didn't focus on his impossibilities. He didn't dwell on his current circumstance. He didn't allow the enemy to fill his mind with all kinds of thoughts of fear and worry and doubt and unbelief. No, Abram chose to look beyond where he was right now. And it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, contrary to hope, Abram in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He didn't look at his own body. It was already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he didn't consider that. He didn't focus on that. The Bible says in the New Living Translation, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept on hoping. And the Amplified Bible says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, he hoped on in faith. You see, against all reason for hope, Abraham hoped on in faith. He didn't consider his circumstances. He chose rather to consider his God. He kept that vision before him, and he looked at the stars, and he looked at the sand, and he kept focusing on what God promised him. He had that dream in his heart. He had a promise from Almighty God, and he made a quality decision that in spite of his old age, in spite of what the enemy was telling him, he would go against all the odds, and he would hope on in faith anyway. And let me tell you today, some of you are standing at a crossroads because God has put a dream in your heart, and you know that God has bigger and better things in store for your life. Amen. You know God's going to restore your marriage. He's going to bring your child back home. He's going to heal your body. He's going to expand your business. But all the circumstances look just the opposite, and the enemy is telling you, you should just give up because it's never going to happen. And people are trying to discourage you. But you got to do like Abraham. And you got to go against the odds. And you got to hope on in faith anyway. You got to keep on believing. You got to keep on praying. You got to keep on having a good attitude. You got to quit considering your circumstances. And quit considering what you don't have. And what you can't do, and all the things that are against you. Quit considering your own education or your natural ability. Quit considering what the naysayers are telling you. Make a decision that you are going to start considering only your God. Psalm 119, David said, I put my hope in your words. I put my hope in the word of God. You got to quit looking at where you are right now, and you got to start looking with your eyes of faith and see those dreams coming to pass. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, the Bible says, faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The New Living Bible says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is our confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And the Passion Bible says it like this. Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. You see, your faith is what causes your hopes to become a reality. But your faith cannot bring your hopes into reality unless you first have hope. Is it any wonder why the enemy is after our hope, because he knows that hope is the first step to a better life. He knows that without hope, we won't have faith. And without faith, God can't work in our life. So the enemy goes overboard trying to discourage you, trying to make you think your situation is hopeless. The enemy will tell you your marriage is never going to get any better. It's impossible. You're never going to get out of debt. Your child's never going to get on the right path. You're never going to get well in your health. You're never going to break that addiction. Let me tell you, his goal is to steal our hope. He wants us to stay focused only on where we are right now. Are you listening to me? But if we are going to be the people that God really wants us to be, we've got to live with an attitude of expectancy, knowing God has got better things in store for us, and we've got to learn how to look beyond where we are right now. Amen. Look beyond where you are right now. See a victory. Some of you came in here today with so many problems. You're so discouraged. The enemy's trying to convince you that, you know, that's all there's ever going to be in life. It's as good as it gets. But you've got to recognize what is happening. The enemy is trying to steal your hope so that you can't have strong faith. And you've got to rise up today. And you've got to look beyond where you are. God has a place of victory in store for every one of us. Can you say amen? Amen? You may be having some challenges in your marriage, in the natural. It may look like divorce is inevitable, but you've got to quit looking at what you can see with your physical eyes. And you've got to look out in that unseen world through your eyes of faith and see your marriage being restored. You might have a bad report from the doctor. In the natural, it looks like your health is going downhill, but you must quit considering the circumstance and start considering the Lord your God, your healer. Some of you are about to give up on a dream. I want to fire you up today, and I want to challenge you to take a new look at your life through the eyes of faith. Quit dwelling on the negative. Quit focusing on the impossibilities in your life. Quit allowing the enemy to steal your hope. Amen. You might have some major challenges in your path, but you got to remember that Jesus told us in Mark 10:27, with man it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Say, all things are possible because I'm with God. The things that are impossible for people are possible with God. And you might have obstacles in your life that seem high, but we serve the Most High God. Your enemies may be powerful, but our God is all powerful. He's the God who flung the stars into space. He's the God who spoke the world into existence when he said, "Let there be light." Light came at 184,000 miles per second. Let me tell you, that's the God that we serve. He's called Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord our healer. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord our provider. He's called El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Can you say amen? Amen. When Moses asked God, "What is your name? Who shall I say sent me?" God said, "Tell him, I am that I am." He was saying, "I am anything that you need. I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your strength. I am your wisdom. I am your victory. I am your health. I am your provision. I am your protection. I am everything that you need." Amen. And let me tell you this, great I am, the creator of the universe, this almighty God, he's on your side today. He's for you. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Say, God is for me. What can be against me? Who can be against me? Let me tell you, no man can stand against our God. If I can just get you to raise your faith today and stop looking where you are, there's no limit to what God will do in your life. Let me tell you, God loves you. God believes in you. God wants to help you. He is on your side. You're the apple of his eye. You're his most prized possession. He's crowned you with glory and honor. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And let me tell you, God didn't choose you to live a defeated, depressed life. He didn't choose you to just barely get by in life. No, God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. God wants you to be filled with hope. God has an overcoming life of victory in store for every one of us. Don't settle for mediocrity. Don't settle for second best. God has so much more in store. Someone said, Pastor Steve, you're just trying to get everyone's hopes up today. You are right, my friend. I want to get your hopes up today. I want to inspire your hope today. Sometimes people will tell you, now don't get your hopes up. Don't get carried away. I always say, man, get your hopes up and get carried away. We got enough people in life trying to drag us down, tell us we're not going to make it, tell us what we can't do, that we're not going to see our dreams come to pass. Let me tell you, I want you to know, with faith in God, you are going to make it. You will see your dreams come to pass. You will fulfill your destiny. Amen. God wants you to get your hope up. He wants you to raise your level of expectancy. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, I love this. Jesus said, you will have what your faith expects. What does your faith expect? What are you expecting in 2022? You've got to quit looking at where you are right now and start looking at where you want to be. Your child may not be on the right path today, but you've got to look beyond where they are right now and start seeing them serving God with all of their heart. Your financial situation may not look too good right now, but you've got to look beyond where you are right now and start seeing yourself as the head and not the tail. You've got to see yourself with the blessings of God overtaking you. Amen. If all you ever have is a poor, defeated self-image, then all you will ever live is a poor, defeated life. I want to stir you today. I want to stir you out of complacency. I want to enlarge your vision today. God wants to take you to a new level of victory. But you've got to do your part. You've got to start seeing yourself with the victory. Isaiah 54:2, the Bible says, increase is coming. Say, increase is coming. Tell your neighbor, increase is coming. Increase is coming. So enlarge your tent and add extensions to your dwelling. Hold nothing back. Make the tent ropes longer and the pegs stronger. The Message Bible says, clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out. Think big. Think big. Think big. I know some of you have gone through disappointments in life. Maybe you've suffered some major setbacks in your life. Maybe someone walked out on you. Someone mistreated you. Someone hurt you. Now you're living with these shattered dreams. And the enemy's trick is to keep you so focused on the negative and so focused on all that hurt and pain that you never really expect anything better in your life. Zechariah 9:12, the word of God says, you prisoners of hope, even today I declare, I will restore double to you. Who's he talking to? The prisoner of hope. The Message translation says it like this: because of my blood covenant with you, I'll release your prisoners from their hopeless cells. Come home, you hope-filled prisoners. This very day, I'm declaring a double bonus. Everything you lost returned twice over. God wants us to be a prisoner of hope. He wants us to be chained to hope. And he's telling us here, no matter what you go through in your life, if you'll never lose your hope, and if you'll never give up, and if you'll stay positive, and if you'll keep a good attitude, and you'll live with this expectant faith, then God will restore double what you had before if you will be a prisoner of hope. He'll take your disappointments, and he'll turn them around, and he'll bring you out with twice as much joy, twice as much happiness, twice as much blessings in your life. Amen? Amen. Don't let the enemy deceive you or convince you that because you've had so many negative things happen to you, that's all the future holds in store for you. Become a prisoner of hope. That means you held captive by hope. That means no matter what your circumstance, you do like Abraham and you keep hoping on in faith. You keep living with that expectancy. Even if the bottom falls out, you know God's going to turn it around and bring you out twice as strong. Let me tell you, God is looking for some prisoners of hope today. He's looking for people who won't get mad or bitter when things don't go their way. No, he's looking for people who even in the midst of their adversity will hold their heads up high and keep on smiling and say, Father, I want to thank you that no weapon formed against me will ever succeed. I want to thank you, Lord. You bring me out of this thing. My hope is in the Lord, and you always cause me to triumph. I know I'm going to see a victory, Lord. You're taking what the enemy meant for evil, and you're turning it for my good. Let me tell you, that's the kind of people God is looking for. That's the kind of people that God is searching for. David went through some dark times, but David was a prisoner of hope. King David said in Psalm 23, verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. I will not fear. Notice he said, even when I walk through. He didn't say, I'm going to stay in the darkest valley. He said, my hope is in the Lord, and I'm coming through it, man. I'm walking through it. I'm coming out of it. You may be in a dark time right now, but if you make up your mind, you're going to be a prisoner of hope, and you will never give up, and you don't blame God, and you don't get bitter about it, then God has promised he will turn that situation around, and he'll bring you out with twice as many blessings. God will make the enemy pay double for causing that trouble in your life if you will remain a prisoner of hope. Can you say amen? We don't always know why we go through certain things. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Jesus spoke about this one time. He was walking down the street. He saw a blind man. He'd been blind since he was born. And the disciples asked Jesus, why is this man blind? Who sinned? Did he sin or did his parents sin? And I love what Jesus replied in John chapter 9, verse 3. Jesus said, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. The Message Bible says it like this. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Oh, man, I love that. You see, you don't need to waste your time trying to figure out why you went through what you went through. I don't understand it, Lord. Why did this happen to me? What did you do? Or what did you do wrong? That'll just bring confusion. And it'll just give you opportunity to get negative, to get bitter. The best advice I can give you is leave it alone, go on with your life, knowing that if you'll be a prisoner of hope, God will restore everything back to you. God will take what the enemy meant for your harm, and he'll turn it out for your good. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he allows certain things to come into our lives simply so he can get the glory. The Bible says in Romans 15, verse 13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you overflow with confident hope. God wants you to overflow with confident hope, with expectation. But if we get down and discouraged and we lose our hope and we say, oh God, why me? Why did this happen to me? Then the very thing God intended to bring glory will end up keeping us down and defeated. When the Israelites were leaving Egypt, God told them in Exodus 14 verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army that the Egyptians may know I am the Lord. God planned for Pharaoh to chase the Israelites so that he could demonstrate his mighty power by parting the Red Sea. You see, you may have great enemies in your life today, but if you keep your trust in the Lord, God will use that situation to bring him glory. I'm not saying that God sends the trouble. What I am saying is that if we keep the right attitude and we keep hoping on in faith, then God will take the trouble that the enemy brings and he'll turn that situation around and use it to bring him glory at the expense of your enemy. Look what Moses told the children of Israel in Exodus 14 verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. See, when you have your hope in the Lord, then God will fight your battles for you. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to get all worried and agitated and anxious and fearful. You don't have to try and make it happen in your own strength. God says, just be still and watch what I can do. Just hold your peace and watch what I can do. And in verse 18 it says, then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. The Israelites were fleeing from Pharaoh's army. They came to this dead end at the Red Sea. In the natural, it was an impossible situation. There was no way out for them. They were trapped like sitting ducks waiting to be killed or captured. But God had led them that way on purpose. Are you hearing me? Why? So he could do a great miracle that would be recorded for generations to come. We're still talking about it today. Moses didn't get discouraged and lose his hope. He didn't get mad and say, some God you are, lead us to a dead end. No, Moses knew God could make a way. Moses had his hope in the Lord. He wasn't considering his circumstances. He was considering his God. And you all know the story. God told Moses to stretch forth his rod. And when he did, the Red Sea supernaturally parted. And 2 million Israelites walked safely through on dry land. But God didn't stop there. When Pharaoh's armies came chasing after them, the water closed. And not one of the enemy survived. And when it was all said and done, God did exactly what he said. He got great glory at the expense of Pharaoh, and all of Egypt knew that he was the Lord. Amen? Let me tell you, when you keep your hope in the Lord, God will do the same thing for you. You may be at a place in your life it seems like a dead end. Your marriage looks hopeless. Your finances look hopeless. Your health looks hopeless. You may not see any possible way out, but here's the good news. God has not lost his power. Amen. If he did miracles back then, he can still do. He's still in the miracle working business today. If he parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel. Surely he can make a way in your life when you don't see a way. I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, if you keep hoping on in faith, even when it looks impossible, if you keep dreaming big dreams, even when people tell you you're crazy, if you keep on believing for God's best, even when you're at a dead end, then your faith will get God's attention and he will supernaturally make a way for you, even when it looks like there is no way. He will make a way for you. He'll open doors for you that nobody can shut. He will go before you and make your crooked places straight. And when it's all said and done, just like with the Israelites, everybody around you will see God's miracle working power at work in your life, and they won't be able to deny that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, and you will bring glory to God in your life. Amen. Come on, we serve a great God today. He can do what people cannot do. And when we put our hope and our trust and our confidence in the Lord, God promises he'll fight our battles for us. We don't have to lift one finger in our defense. Amen. I want you to become a prisoner of hope today. I want you to know there is nothing too difficult for our God. I want you to stop looking at, where you are right now and start seeing yourself with the victory. Don't allow the enemy to get you down and discouraged and cause you to give up on your dreams. You've got to view your adversities as another opportunity for God to demonstrate his miracle-working power in my life. What you're going through today is not going to last forever. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. You're going through that dark valley. You're walking through it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle Paul, he said this. He said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The things that I see with these eyes, they're just temporary. That means they can change at any time. But the things that are unseen, that's talking about the unseen promises of God that are in the spiritual realm, those things are eternal. The New Living Bible says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Say, "My present troubles are small. They won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now, but rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. Can you say amen? What was the Apostle Paul telling us? He was saying, "I'm not worried about this little bit of trouble that I'm facing right now. It's just temporary. It's nothing compared to the great things that God is going to do in my life." He was saying, "I'm not dwelling on my circumstances. I don't look at what I can see with my natural eyes. No, I look into the unseen world. And through my eyes of faith, I see myself fulfilling my destiny. I see myself as an overcomer. I see myself as more than a conqueror." Amen? Amen. Paul the Apostle, he's the one who wrote in 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Say, "Thank you, Lord. You always lead me into triumph, into victory." You see, Paul didn't have a victim mentality. He had a victor mentality. He wasn't murmuring and complaining and blaming God for his troubles and his circumstance. Paul knew if he kept the right attitude, God would turn that situation around and bring him out with great glory. And let me tell you, we too have got to quit focusing on and looking at our problems and quit dwelling on the negative. Are you with me? Quit focusing on your impossibility. The more you focus on your problems, the bigger they become. That's the main reason why so many people are discouraged and so lacking in their faith, because they constantly focus and look at their problems and their challenges and their difficulties, and they talk about them everywhere they go. They discuss it with their friends. Their problems are always on the forefront of their mind. Is it any wonder why they're so negative? Is it why they get depressed and why they feel so hopeless? David knew this. David understood this. David wrote in Psalm 34, verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." See, you got to decide. Are you going to magnify your problems, or are you going to magnify your God? You're going to magnify the Lord. Because the bigger you make your God, the smaller your problems will become. And the more faith is going to rise up in your heart. And faith is what causes God to work miracles in your life. We got to do like Paul. We got to look into the unseen world and see ourselves with a victory. We got to quit looking at where we are right now, and we got to start looking at where we want to be and the vision that God has placed in our heart. That's just what Elijah did in 1 Kings chapter 18, when there'd been a drought in the land for 3.5 years. People were desperate. There was no water. So Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel to pray, and God spoke to him and told him it was going to rain. But in the natural, there were no signs of rain. The sky was perfectly clear, not a cloud in the sky. But Elijah wasn't focused on what he could see with his natural eyes. He was looking into the unseen world. With his eye of faith, he could see the rain coming. So Elijah acted on his faith, and he told his assistant to go to the other side of the mountain and go see if there was any sign of rain. So his assistant went and came back, said, "Elijah, you must not have heard God right. There's not a cloud in the sky." That did not discourage Elijah. He had a promise from God in his heart. He knew God was faithful to his word. So he told his assistant, "Go back and go look again." The assistant said, "Elijah, I just went 5 minutes ago." But he was obedient, and he went, and he came back. He said, "Elijah, I told you, just wasting my time. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's perfectly clear. It's not going to rain." I love how Elijah responded. He said, "Go back and look again." See, when you have a vision of victory for your life, then nothing is going to cause you to give up on it. Nothing is going to cause you to get discouraged. You're going to keep on praying. You're going to keep on believing. You're going to keep on hoping on in faith until your answer finally comes. Can you say amen? Amen. Elijah wasn't moved by the negative reports. He didn't allow his circumstances to get him down. You know why? Because he could see through his eyes of faith the rain coming and ending the drought after 3.5 years. He was looking beyond where he was. So finally he sent that assistant out again and again. And on the 7th time, the servant came back and he said, "Elijah, I don't want you to get your hopes up now, but this time, the 7th time, I saw a little itty-bitty cloud as big as a man's hand, just a little tiny, 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 tiny cloud." Elijah got all excited. He said, "You better get ready. Get your umbrella. Man, you better take off running, because I've seen the rain through my eyes of faith. It's about to unload out of these skies." And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, in verse 45, "Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain that came down." See, you may be in some kind of a drought in your life today. You're praying, you're believing, you've got your hope in the Lord, but every time you go out to look, just like that is Elijah's assistant, you don't see anything happening. Nothing seems to be changing. I want to encourage you, go back and look again. Then go back and look again and again and again, and don't give up, because God is working behind the scenes. Even when you don't see anything happening, if you make up your mind, you're going to be a prisoner of hope, and you're never going to give up, and you're never going to quit. Then let me tell you, before long, God will honor your faith. You'll start seeing a little cloud forming, and then you'll start seeing a little change taking place. And if you'll just keep that vision of victory in front of you and refuse to be discouraged, eventually you'll see that dream come to reality. You'll see that dream come to pass. You'll see the rain come falling down. Amen. I want to encourage you as I close today. I want to encourage you to write your vision down. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write down your vision. Write down your dreams. Write down your goals for 2022. Make a vision board. Keep it before your eyes. What are those things that you trust in God to do in your life? Get a vision board. Put pictures up that inspire you, help you to believe God. Look beyond where you are right now. Because if you can see the invisible, God can do the impossible. Be a prisoner of hope. Don't consider your circumstances. Just consider your God and magnify him. If you'll determine in your heart, no matter what comes against you in life, you're going to keep hoping on in faith. Let me tell you, God will fight your battles for you. You won't have to lift one finger in your defense. God will bring you out with a victory every single time. And you will live that abundant life that Jesus came to bring you. So keep hoping on in faith. Amen. Hebrews 10:23 says, wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within you, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Say this. Say, I lift up my eyes of faith. Everybody, say, I lift up my eyes of faith. And I look beyond where I am right now. I see myself being favored, being promoted, being blessed, being successful. I see myself with a happy family. I see my family following Jesus. I am overflowing with confident hope. I am expecting good things this year. I expect everything to work together for my good. I see the invisible. I don't look at my present circumstance. I see myself living an abundant life. I hope on in faith in the name of Jesus. I put my hope in God's word. Say, I'm a prisoner of hope, and my faith is bringing my hopes into reality. I'm looking forward in 2022. I'm moving forward in 2022. Say, I forget the disappointment of the past. I am pressing forward in the name of Jesus. If you got something out of this, won't you give the Lord some praise today and give him a shout today? Get excited today. First Sunday of 2022. Say, this is my year. This is going to be the best year of my life. Thank you, Lord. This year drips with abundance. Thank you, Lord. You're leading me into victory. You're turning everything to my good. In Jesus' name, I'm walking out of here. Say, I'm walking out of here full of expectation, filled with hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Just bow your heads. Lord, I thank you for every person here today, every person that's watching this, listening to this. Father, I pray that they would be filled and overflowing with confident hope and expectation. I thank you, Lord, for giving us beauty for ashes. I thank you, Lord, for taking what the enemy meant for our harm and causing all things to work for our good, Lord. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. While you have your head bowed and while we have our eyes closed, I want to pray there's anyone here this morning, if you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you even if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and tremble. What I am asking you is if you died today, are you certain that you'd spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can be sure about that. You can leave this place today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord, knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed is forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you will spend eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer I'm about to pray, I ask you quickly just to lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up. Slip it up right now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. I see hands being raised. God bless you. Let me tell you, at Ascend Church, every Sunday, you can always be sure that I am going to give an opportunity for people to receive Jesus in their life. If you will bring them, they will be saved. They will know the Lord. I will do my job. Will you do yours? I want to pray right now. Everyone who raised your hand, please, will you say this prayer? The scripture says, in Romans 10, in verse number 9, if you will declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I want everyone, if you raised your hand, say this prayer. But everyone in the building, say this with me. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you sent your Son to come to this earth to die on a cross for me, to take my sin. I believe, Jesus, you are alive and you are the Son of God. You've been raised from the dead. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of my sin. I surrender my life to you. And I declare, Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. And I thank you because I have received you. Say, I am now saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. God, you are now my Father. I am your child. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said, amen. 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 I want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer, we're going to close the service in a few minutes from now, but we have a gift for you. Please, would you remain seated in your, wherever, just seated in your chair. Don't leave. We want to give you a gift before you go. One of our volunteers saw you raise your hand. They're going to get over to you and give you that gift. God bless you. Amen.
Good preaching, right? I tell you what, I've got, you know, you see on Instagram or Facebook, whatever, people have got all kinds of goals that they're setting and trying to talk themselves into things, but we focus our hope on the promises of God and on the faithfulness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. Amen. And I'm glad that we're in a church that believes in giving and supporting the kingdom of God. That's how our church is funded, is by the faithful giving of those who are blessed by the teaching and the ministry right here in the church. There's various ways to give. There's envelopes in the seats behind you. There's ways that you can give online. The kiosk is not working, but everything else is working. And the Cash App, Barry said, tell everybody to give on the Cash App because there's no credit card charges. So go ahead, do that if you can, or any way you'd like to give. But I always like to read a scripture just to encourage you, because the reason we give is in response to the Word of God. Amen. And you know, we've heard it today that God wants to increase us. He wants to take us forward, and we believe it. Amen. That He's a God of increase. And you know, think about it. I'm not asking you to shout out numbers, but what did you earn last year? Think about that. Think about what did you give last year? God wants to increase that. He wants to increase what you earned, and He wants to increase what you give. Amen. And so we want to have hopes and dreams, and we want success, and we want to increase in our lives, but we always, our giving should always be, increase should always be reflected in our giving, because we want to put God first in everything we do. Amen. God doesn't just want to benefit us. He wants to benefit His kingdom, because what I can give is relative to what I can earn, right? And so I just want to read you a couple of scriptures, the first one being Deuteronomy 14:23. The Bible says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. You know, you might say, well, I don't know, I can't give $20,000 to the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, you can. Because if you faithfully tithe, every time God blesses you, every time you get $10, $1 goes to the Lord. That if you keep doing that, you'll look back on your life and you'll say, I gave to the kingdom of God an excess, what beyond what I thought I could do. Amen. Put God first. Let Him know that His kingdom, His vision is a part of your vision. And lastly, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, He said, so above all, constantly seek God's kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these less important things will be given to you in abundance. So it's all the God giving to us in abundance is linked to us seeking the kingdom of God first. So thank you for that today. We're going to pray as you prepare yourself to give. To those watching online, go ahead and give. It's really simple on Facebook, on our website, ascendchurch.us. Go ahead and give. Father, we thank You for all the blessings of 2021. We thank You for Your provision. We thank You, Father, for doing the unexpected. But we look forward, Father, into the financial future this year, into 2022, and we are trusting You for increase. We are trusting You for big contracts. We are trusting You for open doors of opportunity. We are trusting You, Lord, for new degrees and new abilities, new jobs. And we thank You, Father, we put You first in everything we do, and we thank You in advance for what You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Ushers, go ahead and pass that. We have prayer on Thursday night.
This Thursday, the first Thursday of 2022, we are having prayer, a night of prayer and worship at 7 p.m. right here in the upstairs room there, conference room. Also, I want to say that next Sunday, I'm going to share with you, I believe, the word the Lord gave me for our church for this year. I was praying and I asked the Lord, what should be the theme of our church for the year? And I woke up in the morning and the Lord put the scripture in my heart. And I want to preach to you next Sunday the theme that I believe God has for us as a church for 2022. And I really want to encourage everyone in our church to be here next Sunday. I've been waiting for the holidays to be over so that everyone could come back to church. Are you with me? Where a lot of people not at church over the holidays, over Christmas, the time when we celebrate Jesus, a lot of people couldn't come to church because they were busy with other things. So I'm hoping now that all your partying is done, that we can get back to what really matters. And I'm hoping that all the members of Ascend Church, if you consider Ascend Church your spiritual home, I'm hoping you will be here next Sunday to hear the word that the Lord has imparted to me as your pastor for the direction for 2022. I really mean this sincerely. Don't miss next Sunday morning. We're going to hear from the Lord what He wants us to focus on for 2022. Amen? And I want to encourage you, make this the year that you bring more people to church than you've ever brought in your life before. This is the year, man. Say, this is the year I'm bringing a lot of people to church this year. I'm making a lot of disciples this year. I'm winning a lot of people to the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen, we need to get busy with the Father's business. You know why? Because Jesus is coming back soon. Because we are living in the end times. And if you don't see that yet, if you don't see that we are living in the end days, then I don't know. You gotta take the blindfolds off. It's a very critical time in the earth. Time for the church to rise up and go into the world like never before and declare the gospel, the good news, and make disciples of all the nations. Amen. Say, this is the year I'm making disciples like never before in my life. Amen. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you are a good God and that you have good plans for us and you have good things for us. And Lord, we determine that we put you first, that we seek you first. We seek your kingdom first. And we know that as we do, that all these other things will be added to us. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We magnify you. We are expecting 2022 to be a great, amazing year. No matter what's going on in the world around us, Lord, we thank you that your favor and your goodness reigns upon us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We love you. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. God bless everybody.